Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, with you for an hour of horror. Later on, a famous broadcast from the Lights Out series from 1938. But right now, it's The Sealed Book from the same writers behind the Mysterious Traveler series. We hear their story, Death Rings Down the Curtain, from July 1st, 1945, on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The Sealed Book. Once again, the keeper of the book has opened the ponderous door to the secret vault, wherein is kept the great sealed book, in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. Here are tales of every kind, tales of murder, of madness, of dark deeds, strange and terrible beyond all belief. Keeper of the book, I would know what tale we tell this time. Open the great book and let us read. Slowly, the great book opens. One by one, the keeper of the book turns the pages and stops. Ah, the strange story of a beautiful young actress who tried the most difficult role of her life when she impersonated death to win a prize of millions of dollars. A tale titled, Death Rings Down the Curtain. In the darkened bedroom of Martha Richards, a room where the blinds are always shut, young Dr. Smith is listening intently through his stethoscope to the laboring heart of his elderly, crotchety patient.
Well, how much longer are you going to keep thumping me with that stethoscope, you old quack?
I've finished examining you now.
Well, don't just stand there without saying a word. How am I? How much time have I got left?
Well, that's difficult to say. If you will avoid all excitement, I think I can say a year, possibly two.
A year, possibly two.
Yes, but only if you do as I say. Now, there's no reason at all why you should insist on remaining in this darkened bedroom month after month. Well, it's been a year since you've been out of this room.
Oh, you're going to start on that again.
And what's more, Mrs. Richard, this living in utter seclusion is bad for your health. You should leave this room and see people.
No, Doctor, no. I won't have my maid pushing me around in a wheelchair, the object of everyone's pity. I prefer to remain in this room and have people think of me as I was, not as I am.
Very well. Only I can't see why you refuse to have visitors. It'll give you some interest in life.
It may surprise you to know, Doctor, that I'm expecting two visitors, though it isn't because of anything you've said.
I'm sure it isn't.
But the way my heart is, I think it's about time I was drawing up a will. Before I do so, I want to get acquainted with my only living relatives, a niece and a nephew from my husband's side of the family.
And they're the two visitors you're expecting?
Yes. I haven't seen Gerald and Mildred since they were children. I'm very curious to see what they grew up to be like. I understand Mildred's an actress.
An actress? You don't mean that Millie Richards is your niece, do you?
Yes. Have you heard of her?
Of course. Everyone has. She's one of Broadway's leading actresses. I saw her in a play recently and thought she was excellent.
Probably drinks and smokes and has been married three or four times. And her brother Gerald is probably an ne'er-do-weel who's never worked a day in his life.
Aren't you being a bit unfair, judging the two of them before you've even seen them?
That remains to be seen, Doctor. Before I draw up my will, I intend to learn everything about them. I'll give them both every opportunity to prove they're worthy of part of the Richards fortune.
When do you expect them?
They said they'd be here in time for dinner, which means they should be on their way here now. The hangover, brother dear. Painful, I hope.
What am I doing in this car? Where are we going?
Have you forgotten, darling? This is the day we were invited to visit Aunt Martha. You remember dear old Aunt Martha. She's the one with all that lovely money.
Oh, save it, will you? I'm in no mood for your witticisms.
Considering that I spent half of last night looking for you under nightclub tables, Gerald, you might be a little more grateful.
Oh, my head. What a night.
Yes, wasn't it, darling? Every place I went looking for you, they gave me IOUs you'd left behind. Exactly how much do you owe around town?
$11,000. Millie, you've got to help me. If I don't pay up soon, I'll be in real trouble.
What exactly am I supposed to do?
You've got to lend me enough money to hold off my creditors.
Lend you money? You may not know it, brother dear, but I'm far deeper in debt than you are.
But you were getting $1,000 a week as the lead in Let Us Be Merry. How can you possibly be in debt?
It's all very simple, darling. I was getting $1,000 a week and spending $2,000 a week.
Well, that makes everything just perfect. Both of us so deeply in debt, we probably don't dare go back to town.
Perhaps after our visit to Aunt Martha, we will be able to go back to town.
What do you mean by that?
Why do you think Aunt Martha sent us an invitation to visit us?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Aunt Martha's getting on in years, and unless I'm very much mistaken, she's decided to draw up a will. Naturally, before doing so, she wants to see what her only living relatives are like.
Millie, do you really think she'll leave us some money?
If we play our cards right, all we've got to do is convince Aunt Martha that we deserve it.
And how are we going to do that?
By showing her that we're lovable, simple, and unspoiled. Gerald, do you remember the ingenue role I played in I Dream of Love?
Yes, of course. You weren't half bad.
Half bad? Why, it was superb. The critics were mad about me. How dare you say I was only half bad?
All right. You were superb. What about it?
I think I shall play that role for Aunt Martha. Just a simple, unsophisticated girl, untouched by success.
How am I supposed to behave? I'm no actor.
You just play the strong, silent type, Gerald, and leave all the talking to me. When the curtain rings down on my special performance for Aunt Martha, the Richards fortune will be ours. Come in.
Hello, Aunt Martha.
It's us, Aunt Martha.
Oh, come in, Mildred. Gerald. Well, it's been quite a number of years since we've seen each other, hasn't it?
Yes, it has been, Aunt Martha.
I've been meaning to call on you for ever so long, Aunt Martha, but something always interfered at the last moment.
Well, what finally brought you here?
Well, when you mentioned in your letter that you were ill and would like to see us, I simply couldn't stay away. I dropped everything to come here.
I'm extremely grateful. Of course, the fact that you might possibly get an inheritance had nothing to do with it.
Why, Aunt Martha, what a thing to say.
Martha Millie doesn't need money. Why, she's one of the finest actresses on Broadway.
So I've heard. What do you do for a living, Gerald?
What do I do?
Yes, Gerald, what do you do?
Gerald works for a Wall Street firm, Aunt Martha. Yes, he works so hard, and they pay him so little.
Well, unless I'm very much mistaken, Gerald was left quite a sizable inheritance by his father. Whatever became of that?
The inheritance?
That was lost in poor investments, Aunt Martha.
I see. Well, I'm afraid there's a good deal about you two that I don't know.
I haven't done very much. I haven't gotten very far, Aunt Martha, but Millie has really been a credit to the family name. Everyone's heard of her.
Now, see here. I want you and Millie to be my guests for a week. Frankly, I want to know what you're like before I draw up my will.
Of course, Aunt Martha. And I do hope that you'll take care of yourself so that you'll live for years and years.
Thank you, Millie. Now, I'm afraid I must ask you two to leave, as I'm a bit tired.
Why, certainly, Aunt Martha.
If we can do anything for you, please don't hesitate to ask.
Thank you.
I'm glad we're out of there. The old lady stares at a person as though she can see through him.
The room's so dark, it was difficult to see her. But you can tell she won't last much longer.
Yes, but the main point is, did she fall for our little act? If you ask me, your performance hardly swept her off her feet.
Nonsense. I played my role perfectly. Just give me a week, darling, and you and I will be the sole heirs to the Richards fortune.
For a week, Millie and Gerald have been living with their Aunt Martha, trying to convince her that they are worthy of inheriting her great fortune. And Millie, sure that they have succeeded, is waiting for Gerald to return to tell him the news.
Hello, Millie.
Gerald, where have you been all night? I've looked everywhere for you.
I spent the night in town.
Well, you've been drinking.
So what?
Oh, you fool. What if Aunt Martha were to hear about it, just when everything's working out perfectly?
So everything's working out perfectly, is it?
Yes. I told you if you'd leave her to me, it would. Last night, Aunt Martha made a phone call to New York. Gerald, it was her attorney she was calling, and he's coming here tonight to draw up her will.
You don't say. Well, well.
Well, you don't sound very enthusiastic at being named one of Aunt Martha's heirs.
My dear Millie, it may interest you to know that the greatest performance of your career has gone for nothing.
What do you mean?
You may be able to sweep a Broadway audience off its feet, but not Aunt Martha.
Oh, why, I tell you, she believes in me utterly.
Oh, does she?
Yes, she does.
It may come as quite a shock, but while Aunt Martha was listening so devotedly to your every word, she had a private investigator in New York at work investigating.
Private investigator? You mean Aunt Martha's been checking on our past?
That's the general information I received.
Why, that double-crossing old hag.
Yes, and no doubt you can guess what she'll do when she learns that I haven't a job on Wall Street and that I gambled my inheritance away. And what do you think she'll say when she hears you were named as correspondent in 3 divorce actions and were involved in the Wainwright scandal?
Oh, I'd like to scratch out those staring eyes of hers. Playing with me like a cat with a mouse.
Well, the game's up. We may as well go up to our rooms and pack.
What? Walk out on a $4 million inheritance? I should say not. There must be something we can do about it.
Yes, well, what, for example?
Well, I don't know yet. Let me think. I won't go back to the city beaten, deeply in debt. And Martha may think she's clever, but she won't beat me. Before she cuts me out of her will, I'll... Yes.
What are you planning, Millie?
Gerald, if we play our cards right, you and I will inherit the entire Richards fortune in spite of anything Aunt Martha can do. Now, this is what I'm...
As Millie explained her idea, Gerald's face became white. But in spite of his fears, he finally agreed to do exactly as Billy asked. Then in the hours that followed, Millie locked herself in her room and practiced her aunt's signature over and over until she was finally satisfied. And that evening, as the clock struck 8, Millie and Gerald silently stole down the hall to the door of their aunt's room.
Millie, let's not go through with this. It's madness.
Be quiet, you fool. I tell you, it's the only way out.
But what if we're caught? You know what that'd mean.
I tell you, we won't be caught if you do exactly as I say. I've everything worked out perfectly to the last detail. Get hold of yourself. I'm going to knock. You know exactly what you're to do.
Yes.
Come in.
Good evening, Aunt Martha.
I hope you're feeling well, Aunt Martha.
Oh, Mildred, Gerald, eh? Come in.
Thank you.
It's quite dark in here, Aunt Martha. Would you like me to turn on a light?
No, Gerald, that isn't necessary. I'm quite used to being in the dark.
Of course.
How are you feeling this evening?
Much better, thank you.
Gerald, perhaps you ought to fix Aunt Martha's pillows. She doesn't seem very comfortable.
No, you needn't bother. I'm quite comfortable, I assure you.
Gerald, fix Aunt Martha's
pillows. I can't go through with it. You hear? I can't.
You fool, I should have known better than to count on you. Huh?
Mildred, what's Gerald talking about?
Nothing important, Aunt Martha. Here, let me fix this pillow
I
for you.
I tell you, I don't want
Millie,
it.
Don't.
Mildred,
don't. Millie, don't. She's suffocating.
Quiet, you hear? You haven't got the nerve to go through with it. I have. There. I think that's enough to bring on a heart attack.
Oh.
How do you feel, Aunt Martha?
You're nothing but a murderess. Oh, my heart.
Millie, is she... dead?
Yes, Gerald, and not from suffocation, but from a heart attack. I told you it would work out.
I had nothing to do with it, do you hear? You murdered her, I didn't.
In the eyes of the law, Gerald, you're my accomplice. Nothing you might say can make it otherwise. We haven't time to discuss that. Aunt Martha's attorney should be here in an hour. Now, will you do as I say or won't you?
I have no choice in the matter.
No, you're acting sensibly. Do exactly as I say and we can't fail.
Car just stopped in front of the house. It must be Mr. Jordan, Aunt Martha's attorney.
It certainly is punctual.
Are you ready?
I need a little more shading here under my eyes.
Hurry, Millie. He'll be up here in a minute.
Gerald, I've never been late for a curtain yet, and I won't be late for this one. There. Now, help me on with Aunt Martha's bedrobe.
Right.
There. Now, how do I look, Gerald?
You look exactly like Aunt Martha. If I didn't know her body was in that closet, I'd swear you were her.
In the dim light of this room, no one can help but take me for Aunt Martha.
Yes, but what about your voice and the things you may have to know?
Just listen to this.
Don't be ridiculous, Gerald. As mistress of this house, I answer only those questions which I wish to answer, and I assure you I shall not be tripped up.
Does that convince you?
Yes, I'm convinced. Millie, quick. Get in bed. I hear someone coming.
All right, Gerald. And please stop shaking. I tell you, we can't fail. I shall give the greatest performance of my career.
Swiftly, Millie, made up to look like her dead Aunt Martha, slips into her aunt's bed, and then, as Gerald lights a cigarette with trembling fingers, someone knocks at the door.
Come in. Good evening, Mr. Jordan. Come in, won't you?
Well, Mrs. Richards, how are you? Why, bless me, it's been over a year since I've seen you.
Really, Mr. Jordan? Has it been that long?
Certainly has. How are your eyes? Still troubling you?
My eyes? Oh, they're much better, thank you.
Well, that's fine, Mrs. Richards. Oh, by the way, this is Mr. Wilson, my secretary.
How do you do?
I'm happy to meet you, Mrs. Richards.
I don't think, Mr. Jordan, you've met my nephew, Gerald Richards. Gerald, this is my attorney, Mr. Jordan.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Richards?
Mr. Jordan, I want to have a will drawn up and signed tonight.
Tonight? Mm. Surely you can't be serious, Mrs. Richards. After all, your vast holdings require a will that will take you days to draw up.
No nonsense. I'll have none of your involved 40-page wills. All I want is a simple will dividing my entire estate equally between my nephew Gerald and my niece Mildred.
But, Mrs. Richards, there are so many other details that enter into the matter of a will. For example, we must consider
Mr.
that...
Mr. Jordan, will you do as I say, or must I get another attorney to draw up my will?
Very well, Mrs. Richards. Mr. Wilson, please draw up a will dividing the entire estate between Gerald Richards and Mildred...
Mildred Richards. She's Gerald's sister.
Yes, thank you.
I'll take care of it at once, Mr. Jordan.
You mean, Mr. Jordan, you've never heard of my niece, Mildred Richards, the Broadway actress?
Oh, you mean Millie Richards. Why, yes, of course. I've seen her in quite a number of plays.
Oh, really? What do you think of her?
Well, frankly, Mrs. Richards, I think your niece has a tendency to overact.
Oh, you do you?
Take this last play she was in, Let Us Be Merry. Now, I think she played it far too hard for comedy. I'd have preferred to see an actress like, say, Joan Walker play that role.
Well, it's only your opinion. I should like you to hear what the critics had to say about her performance. Gerald, will you please hand me Millie's scrapbook? You'll find it on my desk there.
Oh, really, Aunt Martha, don't you think you
please,
ought
to... Please, Gerald...
Oh, very well.
I can understand criticism, and it's justified, Mr. Jordan, but it seems to me you're going against my niece's huge public.
Here's Millie's scrapbook, Aunt Martha.
Thank you, Gerald. Just a moment, Mr. Jordan, and I'll read you what the critics had to say about Millie's performance in Let Us Be Merry.
Yes, I'd like to hear it.
Here we are. This is what Martin Walters, dramatic critic of the Evening Sentinel, had to say.
Hmm.
Rarely in 30 years of theater going has this reviewer seen such a fine flair for comedy as was displayed last night by Millie Richards in her new hit, Let Us Be Merry, and that, Mr. Jordan, is the opinion of one of the finest critics in the country.
Well, I may be wrong, Mrs. Richards. Naturally, I was only venturing a personal opinion when I said...
I have Mrs. Richards' will prepared, Mr. Jordan. I use the standard form.
Oh, yes. Let's have a look at it. Yes, it seems to be all in order.
You're sure that will, Mr. Jordan, will stand up in court?
Oh, yes. Only you'll be leaving a good many unsettled problems to your heirs.
It's quite all right. I'm sure they're capable of taking care of them. Your secretary can be one of the witnesses, can't he?
Yes, Mrs. Richards, and your maid can be the other.
Very well. Now, I'll sign first. There you are.
That's fine. Now I'll have the two witnesses sign it, and everything will be in order.
Good. Quite happy now that it's all settled.
You look tired, Aunt Martha.
I am, Gerald, I am. Are you finished, Mr. Jordan?
Yes, Mrs. Richards.
Good. Mary will show you and Mr. Wilson to your rooms. I'll see you in the morning. Good night.
Good night, Mrs. Richards.
Good night.
They're gone. Well, Gerald, I told you it would work.
We aren't through this yet.
Don't be a fool. The money is as good as ours. All we have to do is put Aunt Martha back in this bed. Tomorrow morning, her maid will discover her dead body, and you and I will inherit everything.
The next morning, things went exactly as Millie had foreseen. The maid found the old woman's body in her bed as if she had died in her sleep, and Dr. Smith was summoned at once. After a brief examination, he was satisfied that Martha Richards' tired heart had simply given out during the night.
Oh, I can't.
can't believe it somehow, Doctor. Aunt Martha was such a dear. It's impossible to believe she's really dead.
You mustn't feel too badly, Miss Richards. It was all over quite quickly, I'm sure. Your aunt's heart simply gave out.
But she seemed so strong and well when we left her last night. Why, when she and I were arguing, it was just like old times.
You mean you and Mrs. Richards had an argument last night?
Well, not really an argument, Doctor. They were just debating over my sister's ability as an actress.
Yes, that's all it was. I hope you won't mind, Miss Richards, but when I told your aunt, I thought that you overplayed your roles.
Oh, that's quite all right, Mr. Jordan. What did she say to that?
She almost hit the ceiling when I criticized you. She claimed that you're the finest actress in the country.
Oh, Aunt Martha was always a dear.
Strange that she should have said that, considering that she never saw Miss Richards perform.
Well, maybe she hadn't, but she pulled out a book of clippings about Miss Richards and read me what one of the critics had said about her niece.
She did what?
She read me what one of the critics had said about Miss Richards' ability as an actress.
I see. Jordan, I think your criticism of Miss Richards that she overplays is justified.
I beg your pardon. I never overplayed a role in my life.
I'm afraid, Miss Richards, that you overplayed one last night.
Last night? What do you mean?
Your Aunt Martha was an extremely proud woman. She couldn't stand to be pitied. Exactly a year ago, she became blind. And when she did, she refused to leave her room and allow people to know she'd lost her sight. Only two people knew her blindness, her maid and myself.
But if Mrs. Richards was blind, how could she have read me that notice last night?
She didn't, Mr. Jordan. An egomaniac actress disguised as Mrs. Richards read her own notice to you. Isn't that so, Miss Richards?
Go ahead, tell him, Millie. You're so clever. You're the greatest actress in the world. You had everything worked out to the smallest detail.
Be quiet, you fool! They can't prove a thing. No jury in the world would believe them. I'm too great an actress to be convicted of murder. Do you hear? I'll give a performance that'll sweep a jury off its feet. They'll never forgive me. They'll never convict me.
And that is the story, as it is written in the sealed book, of how an actress tried to impersonate death and failed. Millie Richards had one more opportunity to act upon the witness stand at her trial, but again she failed, for the jury found her and her brother Gerald guilty and sentenced them to life imprisonment. Strange are the secrets of the human heart and the ways of fate in trapping men and women in their own evil schemes. To be with us again next time when the sound of the great gong heralds another strange and exciting tale from The Sealed Book.
The Sealed Book, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 1st, 1945 on Mutual. The writers of the series, Robert A. Arthur and David Kogan, also penned broadcasts of The Mysterious Traveler radio show on Mutual, and the same script was used again in October of 1948. You're listening to An Hour of Horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and now Lights Out with one of the standout shows from the series called Catwife, penned by Arch Obler and starring Boris Karloff, from April 6th, 1938 on NBC.
Lights out, everybody.
In the next room, ain't he?
Oh, that guy. What does he know about having fun? Work, work, work. It makes me sick where I've never been sick before. Oh, come on. Get stick around. Let's have some more fun. Oh, you can't stop me. Oh, sweet. That's the most marvelous song I've ever heard.
Linda, for heaven's sake, Linda.
Well, Speak of the devil. Hiya, Johnny boy. Come on in. The water's fine.
Only it ain't water, huh?
It ain't water.
Linda, for heaven's sake, I'm trying to work.
Oh, go away. Go away. You're spoiling my party. Throw him out of here, Kenny. He's only my husband.
Get out of here, you. Take another one with you. Go on. Come on. Sail out. Come on.
I'm going.
No, no, wait. Don't listen to him. It's my house. It's my house.
You. You kick them out. My friends, you kick them out.
Linda, haven't you any consideration at all? I beg you, pleaded with you to try to keep these people out of the house while I'm getting some work done. And you persist in doing just the opposite.
You kick them out. My friends.
Yes, yes, I kicked them out and I'll do it again every time I find them here. They're no good. You've given me your word time and time again to give them up.
I'll call them back. I'll call them all back. You can't tell me what to do. Not me. They're my friends, mine. I'd give a dozen of you for one of them.
All right, Linda. If that's the way you feel, I guess you and I have finally come to the end of the road. You haven't got a grain of loyalty in you. All I ask is a little peace and quiet in my own home, and I can't even have that.
Go away, go away.
Night after night, you and those people, yowling and screaming like a pack of alley cats. And you the worst of all. I'm through, Linda. I'm through with you for good.
Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not.
Keep away from me. Keep away. Oh, Linda.
See? You're not through with me at all. You'll never be through with me. Never.
Oh, Linda. Linda.
No. No, let me go. Let me go. I don't want you, you fool. You're not through with me. I'm through with you.
No, no, Linda.
I'm tired of you. Do you hear me? I'm tired of you. I'm going to get so far away from that smug face of yours that I couldn't see it with a telescope.
Linda, my wife.
Your wife. Why do you think I married you?
I thought you loved me.
I married you because I was sick of working in a two-bit barbershop. Because I was sick of living in a hall bedroom wearing bargain sale dresses. I wanted dough, plenty of it, all I could get. And you were the best chance to get it that came my way.
No, no, Linda, you did love me. You must have loved me.
I loved you about as much as that canary up there loves its cage. I told myself I'd stay with you a year. Divorce you, stick you for plenty of alimony, and then get out.
But we've been married 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. Because you fooled me, that's why.
I fooled you?
Yes. Huh. You started to make a lot of money. More money than I ever thought you could make. So you're giving me the air, huh?
No, no, Linda. I love you. I'll always love you. I didn't mean what I said.
Well, I did.
Oh, Linda, don't leave me. You're no good. I know you're no good, but heaven help me, I love you. I'll never love anybody else.
Get out of my way.
No, no, I won't let you go. You've got to stay.
Take your hands off me.
You're no good. You've cost me my self-respect. But you'll stay with me. You'll stay with me. Or I'll cut you off without a cent. You won't get a dime from me. Not a dime. Stop that. Stop laughing.
Oh, you Sam. You fat-headed Sam.
Stop that.
So you're going to cut me off without a cent, are you? Oh, you fool. I've got everything that belongs to you now. You hear me? Everything.
What are you talking about? What are you saying?
This house. It's in my name, isn't it? The car. It's in my name, isn't it?
I know, but... Oh, no, you wouldn't.
Oh, wouldn't I? Well, listen to this, my darling husband. I cleaned out the bank account yesterday.
No.
Every cent of it. I won't be in the street. You will. Now, this is my house. Get your things and get out of here.
I'll kill you.
No, stop
I'll
it.
Kill you.
Don't you come near me. Let me go. Let me go. Ow!
Ah! Oh.
You touch me again, I'll tear your eyes out.
You cat.
Get out of my way.
That's what you are, a cat. A big, white, heartless cat. You think like one. You screech like one. You claw like one. You even look like one. A cat. That's what you are, a great white cat. I didn't marry a woman. I married a cat.
Keep it up. Keep it up. You're doing swell.
Laugh at me. Go on, laugh at me. But you're a cat. A sneaking, yowling cat.
Now, that's enough of that. You stop saying it.
A cat. It's a cat. You hear me? A cat.
Stop staring at me like that. Stop staring at me. John, what's happening to me? My head can hardly see. John, help me. John!
Linda!
What are you staring at? What are you staring at? What are you... Meow!
Linda! Linda! Oh!
John, you've got to control yourself. Everything will be all right.
Oh, Doctor, what have I done? What have I done?
John, please, pull yourself together. You're not entirely to blame for what's happened.
What did I do? I did it. I'm to blame.
Stop talking like that. It's preposterous to say you're to blame. She was hysterical, John. And the suggestion that she was a cat caught her in an unguarded moment and resulted in a temporary neurosis.
Oh, Doctor, she's got to get well. She's got to.
Of course, she'll be all right. A little rest, quiet, and in a few days, it'll all be forgotten.
Is she sleeping?
Yes. I gave her a sedative. She's resting very comfortably.
Can I go in and see her?
But I tell you, she's sleeping, John.
I know, but... Oh, I've got to see her. I've got to look at her. I've got to make sure she's all right. Don't you see? I've got to make sure.
Now, John, please. You've had a hard time of it. You'd better get to bed and get some rest.
Oh, no, Doctor, listen to me. I've got to see her again. I've got to make sure that she's all right. I can't rest until I know.
Well, I tell you... Oh, very well. Just for a moment.
Yes.
Be very quiet.
Yes.
See, she's resting very nicely.
Doctor, look.
What?
Her hands. Look at her hands.
They're claws.
And her teeth. Her teeth. Linda.
No, 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 John. You'll waken her.
Linda! Listen to her.
Steady, John.
I can't stand it. I tell you, I can't stand it. She's Linda. She's my wife, my beautiful wife. Linda. Linda.
Sorry, John.
It's all right. I guess I'm going a little crazy myself. What's happening to her? What is it?
I don't know, John. I don't know.
Listen to her. You've got to do something, Doctor. You've got to. You're my friend. You've got to help me.
What? In the name of all that's rational, what?
Well, think. There must be something you could do. A drug, something, anything.
Oh, John, I don't know what to say. I can't think. I'll call in someone else. That's it. I'll inform the authorities. They'll take care of everything.
No, no, wait.
What's the matter? What is it?
You're going... to inform the authorities?
Yes. Yes, of course, John. Don't you see it's the simplest way out?
Way out?
Of course, of course. For you and for me.
What do you mean?
John, this horrible thing that's happened to Linda, it goes beyond just you and me. It goes beyond the normal into the supernatural. Everyone should know about it. The world should know about it, sir.
You mean you're going to let everybody know what's happened to Linda?
Of course I am.
But you can't do that. She's my wife, do you hear me? My wife.
No, no, no. Now, don't get excited again, John. Listen sensibly. We owe it to science.
Science? Who cares about science? She's Linda. She's my wife, and I cursed her to God and turned her into a yowling beast. It's my shame, mine. And you're not going to tell a living soul about it. No one, you hear me? No one.
It's my duty, John. I must inform the authorities.
No, no. Keep open that phone. Keep away, I say.
I'm sorry, John.
Oh.
John. My friend.
No, no. Try to sleep, darling. Try to sleep. Yes, yes, I know, darling. But it's almost morning. You must rest. Sleep, Linda. Sleep, my beloved. All right, darling. I've got to be strong. I've got to help you. And I did help you. He was going to tell them about you. Everyone. They'd have taken you away from me, locked you up, pointed at you, laughed at you. But I stopped him, Linda. I stopped him for you. He called me friend. But you're my wife, my beloved, and I love you. I've pleased you, haven't I, my darling? I never could please you before, could I? And now I've pleased you. I killed him, Linda. I killed my friend to save you. And if anybody comes, I'll say he never came here. And no one will know, darling. No one but you and I. What is it, darling? What's the matter? Why are you getting up? What is it? Why go to the window? What do you want? Oh, if I could only understand you. If I could only know what you're trying to say to me. Oh, oh, no. Oh. Linda! Linda, stop! I beg you to stop! Linda, beloved, stop! 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 Stop!
Yes, I'm coming. I'm coming.
Good morning, Mr. Taylor.
Oh, it's you.
I found this note saying you wanted to talk to me. Gee, I hope you're not going to quit taking milk from me, Mr. Taylor. I know I've been kind of late with deliveries the last couple of days, but you see, it's my horse.
No, I'm not going to stop taking milk. That's what I want to see you about. I want milk, more milk, cream, everything.
Oh, sure, sure. How much do you want?
Oh, 4 bottles of milk. No, 6.
6?
Yes, and cream. 6 bottles of cream.
Is something wrong, Mr. Taylor?
Wrong? Why do you think something's wrong?
Well, I only meant...
You meant what? Speak up. You meant what?
Oh, now, don't get sore, Mr. Taylor. I just meant, well, you don't look so good. And, well, you know how it is. Sometimes a fella has a couple too many and he starts ordering all the milk in the world.
You fool. I'm not drunk. Do you want to sell me that milk or do I have to get another milkman?
No. I'll get it for you.
Well, hurry.
6 quarts. 6 cream. Only him and his old lady. The guy's nuts.
Drink the milk, my beloved. Please. But you haven't eaten anything. You're hungry. You must be hungry. Oh, my darling, what do you want? I'll get you anything. Anything. Just eat. No, I can't let you out of the room. I can't. Someone might come to the door. They'd see through the windows. Oh, be patient, Linda, darling. I'll think of something. Drink the milk for your own good, Linda. Please. No, dearest. Don't do that. All right, dear. All right. I'll let you into the dining room. But you've got to stay away from the windows. Someone should see you. Here. Let me carry you.
All right, darling, all right. I won't. Go yourself. Go yourself. You see, my darling, your pretty living room. Everything in it just the way you fixed it. Everything. Oh, Linda, this horrible thing that's happened to us. I tell myself it isn't real. I'll wake up soon and everything will be the way it used to be. You and I. Linda, where are you? Oh, Linda, don't, Linda! Don't touch that bird! Linda! Linda! Could you do it? Oh, could you do it?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Taylor. Early again this morning, ain't you?
Good morning.
Ever since you sent your wife to the country, my first customer every morning for the last 3 days you've been. Like I was saying to my wife this morning, I said...
Yes, Mr. Heinrich, some other time. I'm in a hurry. My order, please.
Yeah, but you ain't give me no order yet. How about a nice steak, what you can broil?
No, nothing like that.
But to broil a steak? Ach, I tell you, that's nothing. When my wife, she goes to the country, that's what I always make for myself. You lay the steak in the pan, and then you light the gas.
I'm in a hurry, I tell you.
Yeah, all right. You don't have to get so high blood pressure, Mr. Taylor. If you will tell me what you want, by golly, I'll give it to you.
Well, I don't know exactly. Oh, a couple of pounds of liver. Yes, that's it. Fresh liver.
What? Again?
You heard me.
Sure, I heard you. But, by golly, for 3 days, ever since your wife, she went away, you eat nothing but liver.
Are you going to fill my order?
Yeah, sure. I will fill your order. There. Did you ever see such nice, fresh liver, huh? Oh, 2 pounds? Jawohl. There we are. By golly, it could be you was raising cats or something.
Why do you say that?
Well, every day you buy liver. This morning I catched a couple of mouses in a trap. Maybe you like to take them along for the cat too, huh?
Don't say that!
Mr. Taylor, the liver, you forgot. By golly, that man is verrückt. Now, what did I say that was wrong? Cats like to eat mouses.
Oh, my Linda. My dearest Linda. Close to me. Oh, my darling. It's better this way. You can't leave me now. I'll have you with me always. I'll keep you here. Just you and I. I won't answer it. They'll go away. All right. I'll answer it. No. Stay here, my beloved. They mustn't see you. Be very quiet. Yes, I'm coming. Well, what is it?
Are you the owner of this building?
Yes, what do you want?
Kerrigan is the name. I'm your neighbor. I've got that place across the alley from you.
Neighbor?
Yeah, Kerrigan is my name. I'm with the department.
Department?
Yes. I'm desk sergeant at the 3rd District Station.
Policeman?
Yes. I'm off duty today, so I thought I'd drop over and speak to you. Do you mind if I step in for a moment?
Step in? Oh, no, not at all.
Thank you. Well, you got a nice place here.
Yes, nice. Very nice.
You know, the same contractor's made this place as made mine. You didn't know that, I'll bet.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Irishman by the name of Gil Hooley. You put up all these bungalows along here on nothing but Blarney and the shoestring. Jumped out into the story window, they tell me, the day after the stock market crash. Lucky for him. If he was alive now, some of the people around here that bought places for me would murder him. What were the trouble they're having?
Trouble?
Say, now, speaking of trouble, reminds me why I come over. If you don't mind, I'll tell you.
Yes?
No, it ain't me that's complaining, Mr. Taylor. I'm the kind of man that can sleep in a boiler factory. But it's me, Katie. Ah, there's a light sleeper for you. I always say that if a star in heaven twinkles too much, the noise wakes up me, Katie.
What? What is the trouble?
Well, you know how the women are. Always finding something to make a fuss about. Hey, I'm not disturbing her, am I?
Huh?
Yeah. You know, you're missing. She's not sleeping in the bedroom there, is she?
No, of course not. There's no one in there.
I thought maybe seeing the door is closed.
Oh, no, I tell you, there's no one in there. My wife, she's out of town.
Oh, well, that's fine. I always like to talk things over man to man without the women around. The women are all right, I says, but they don't know how to straighten our little troubles with neighbors without calling names and pulling hair.
Oh, what is it? What's wrong? What do you want to tell me?
Well, to put it plain, it's the cat.
Cat?
Yeah, the cat. You just got it, didn't you?
You heard a cat?
Yeah. It started a few nights ago. Now, it ain't just a mean one, like I said, but me, Katie, well, you see our bedroom window faces right on the alley. And by golly, she hears every meow that animal makes.
You're wrong.
Eh?
I have no cat.
But me, Katie, heard. I heard it too, for that matter.
I have no cat.
But I'm telling you, it come right from this house.
I tell you, I have no cat. Isn't that sufficient?
Well, now, seeing as you put it so plain, I'll be speaking up plain myself. I'm telling you, I heard a cat yowling last night, and the night before, and the night before that. And as sure as me name's Thomas Kerrigan, it come right from this house. Now, what do you say to that?
Get out.
Now, wait a second, Nabucco. Wait a second. Don't get on your high horse.
Get out.
Well, now, see here. I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just thinking maybe the animal's caught in your cellar without you knowing it. Now, if you let me go down
here... I tell you, there's no cat here. Get out. Get out of here.
Oh, it's like that, is it?
You heard me. Get out of my house.
Well, you sure are making a lot of noise about nothing, young fella. But it's your house. And if that's the kind of neighbor you want to be, I guess...
What? What are you standing there for? Get out! Get out!
Now, just a minute. Take it easy. No cat, eh? Well, what was that I just said?
Nothing at all. You've got no right
to... Mister, you may not be a liar, but you sure are something close to it. If that ain't a cat in that bedroom there, then I ain't never heard one.
Get out! Get out of here!
Oh, no, I won't. Listen to that cat. If that ain't creating a public nuisance, I'd like to know what it is.
It's none of your business. This is my house. Get out of here.
Now, stop pulling at me, me bucko. I may be off duty, but I'm still an officer of the law. And I'm telling you, that cat you got in there is violating the city ordinance. Now, if you don't make it shut up disturbing me, Katie, I will.
No. Stay away from that door. Stay away from that door.
Hey. Listen to it. That ain't no cat you got in there.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I lied. It is a cat. Just a cat. But I'll make it be quiet, but go away. Go away.
Wait a minute. Take it easy. If it's just a cat, what are you getting so excited?
No, I'm not.
Look at you. Your eyes are blazing. What's going on here? I think I'll have a look.
No, stay away. Oh, no. No. Get away. Take it away.
I told you. I told you to go.
Me gun. If I only had me gun.
You'll never use it. Never.
Keep away from it. Help. Help.
I asked you to go, didn't I? I asked you to. Didn't I, Linda? You heard me. You heard me asking. Linda. Linda, what's the matter? What are you going to do? Linda, keep away from him. What are you going to do?
No, Linda. Get away from him. Linda. Stop. Oh, my eyes.
My eyes. God see? That God, if I could only find it. Blood. Blood in my eyes. I'm blind. Oh, God, have pity on me. Help me to find it. It must be here. I dropped it. Somewhere. You're back now. Pressing against me. Oh, God, let me find that gun. I dropped it here somewhere. Let me find it. Got it. Yes. Press close to me. I can't see you. Press close to me. I mustn't miss. There. Scratch, claw, what does it matter? You cursed animal. You've taken everything from me. My eyes, my life. Now I'll take... Linda! I heard, my beloved, I heard you. I'm coming with you. Wait for me, Linda, my beloved. Wait.
Lights Out, with Boris Karloff and written especially for radio by Arch Obler, comes to you each Wednesday from our Chicago studios. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Lights Out, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 6th, 1938 on NBC. That brings to a close this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.